KUJZ is 95.3 The Score.
I hope you're ready. It's that time.
This is going to be cool.
Climb aboard for the radio ride known as Sports Talk.
A day that will live in sports radio infamy.
Brought to you by Guarantee RV.
We're talking the big deal, the real deal.
On Highway 99 in Junction City, online at GuaranteeRV.com.
I am not only drinking the Kool-Aid, I'm the manufacturer.
I am losing my mind.
Shannon, it might be semi-circle time.
Hi, I'm Steve, and, well, I brought a list.
And now, a guy with tons and tons of issues.
Yeah, I kind of do have issues.
And broadcasting them, searching for answers.
Yeah, what the hell are we doing?
It's Steve Tannen.
Well, hello there, and thanks for tuning in. Sports Talk has arrived on a Tuesday. Got the Entertainment Sports Programming Network on the station to find out who's fourth and fifth and sixth. I guess Georgia, Utah, Oklahoma, In it doesn't matter which order heading into this weekend, because if Georgia wins, they're in. That might make things a little more complicated.
Do you think they put LSU back to one so that the SEC championship game is 1-4, and they kind of make it a statement of just like, this is a playoff
statements.
Game for the playoff game. We're not going to put LSU in the playoff even if they lose to Georgia. Because that should be a statement that they make, where they're saying we're not going to put runners up in conference championship games, you know, out of the playoff because they lost the playoff or a potential playoff game in the conference championship game.
I don't think, first of all, I don't think the committee does the one step ahead. I think they actually put one who they think is one and, two who they think is two, and three who they think is three.
But you've got it's not that far ahead to be thinking about Saturday, and it's Tuesday.
No, I understand what you mean. I honestly do not believe that they go, well, if we put this one at 1-4, then we don't have to worry about bringing in a second SEC team. I think they actually wipe the slate clean and go from week to week. All right, that said, 284-8571, Oregon is 13. Did they go up one? Nah. Oh, yeah. Right, green is up. Now, again, sometimes Nix thinks I can't see. He doesn't realize the microphone is in my way.
Okay, I'll move the microphone.
All right,
so the
Ducks went from 14 to 13. They went up one. Alabama dropped from 7 to 12. Auburn moved from 15 to 11, by the way. You know what? Does seeing this make it even more of a, I'm so pissed off as an Oregon fan, because if they beat ASU and they beat Utah, they would so be in.
Oh, they'd be
over
four.
Oklahoma.
They'd be four.
Yeah,
right,
I think
now.
They might be in right now. Yeah, because Georgia losing to South Carolina, whereas Oregon's lone loss would have been against a number 11 team that just beat Alabama. You know, it's weird. I guess I kind of blocked it out of my mind how close they are. And forever, if they somehow knock off Utah, it's going to be like, huh, they just started playing offense early in the third quarter instead of midway through the fourth quarter in Tempe. They'd be and one.
Yes.
And that's where Auburn's going to end up because they don't play this weekend.
Right.
They would clearly have the best loss on the board of the one-loss teams unless... No, that's it. Because if Georgia beat LSU, you can't say LSU has a better loss because of who Georgia lost to. Wow. Why'd you have to put this on, Nick? You just ruined everything.
It's been sad like this for months, Steve.
I'm
this is
kidding.
What everybody's I'm been sad about since the
you know
loss
what it
to
is?
Auburn.
Can I give you a real honest answer?
Number 10 is Penn State.
I think that because I was so obsessed in memorizing, you know, the top eight teams, and I could have recited for you, well, they beat this team, but they lost to this team, but if they play these next two teams, for the last month, I've had, like, the top eight teams memorized, who they played, who they beat, who they lost to, who they would play, what the process of elimination is, and I think once Oregon lost, my mind went, just forget it. Just cleanse yourself.
I forgot who number nine is.
Me too.
Off the board. I think it was Florida or Wisconsin.
I think it was Colorado. Is it 2016?
I don't know. No, you were very robotic about the entire process. You were just like, listen, Oregon fans, be an emotionless robot like me and memorize everyone's schedule and stop thinking about Oregon and just realize that all hope is lost. No, there's no rest for the wicked. Please go slumber.
Yeah, I kept saying.
Go into your winter hibernation cave and come out in the spring when basketball is coming around again or whatever. It's all lost. It doesn't matter. And now all of a sudden, 2 weeks after everybody's been in a sour, bad mood, wait a second, it makes sense. I understand why everybody was so sad.
All right. So now that reality doesn't bite, reality has struck, there's kind of an annoying sense of calm that has come over me as we work our way through the early stages of Sports Talk on a Tuesday. 95.3 The Score. It's like it's therapeutic. We're like in one of those homes that the music that you heard in Cuckoo's Nest. Ah, da, 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 da. We get like in the Costanza Seinfeld episode where George broke up with that girl and she lost it and ended up in an asylum. And George was jealous because she got to wear slippers every day.
Number eight.
Number eight is Wisconsin.
Number seven.
Baylor, up two spots.
Wow. You know, Baylor's very loomy because if they bounce Oklahoma and the right things happen, they're not because, you know,
they're going to lose by 900 to Ohio State or LSU. They will lose by 900
if they were in the playoffs.
Teams. If they just decided, okay, it's Baylor, and, you know, let's say Oregon beats Utah, so Utah's got two losses, they're out.
Oklahoma's six, by the way. Get on it.
Number six.
Oh, they did the sixth thing?
Yeah,
they normally go one through. So that,
they got very sneaky. Well, they were like, that Rogers dude back in Eugene thinks he's got us. Utah is five.
Number five.
Because, so Georgia is a division winner. Utah's a division winner.
All of those teams are division winners.
Right. No, I'm just, sometimes you could just let me think it through if you don't have to be a pain in the ass.
I don't know any other way, really.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean it. I mean very well.
Clemson. Clemson is third.
Number four.
Georgia.
Number three.
Clemson.
So the question would be, Georgia's best win at Florida, at Auburn, which all of a sudden now is a really good win. What is Utah's best win? LSU is two, so TOSU
number two
remains.
Number one.
Yeah, okay. So Utah is five going in, which means if they beat Oregon and wow, that's going to be really interesting because they're both going to beat ranked teams. Oklahoma will have posted by their numbers a better championship game win. So then it would come down to strength of schedule and better quality wins. So Utah, remember, they did not play Oregon. They are the other good team, and the third best team they lost to. So they do not have a win against a ranked team. Utah does not have a really, really great case. I mean, they won at Washington. Ugh. You know, Colorado, Arizona, UCLA are not in bowls. Neither is Oregon State. And, you know, BYU is not good. Northern Illinois doesn't matter. Neither does Idaho State. So, Do you root? Let's say you were just a diehard Utah fan. Beyond beating the Ducks, do you root for Baylor? Baylor knocks off Oklahoma
because
Baylor's got one loss.
Everything about Baylor screams they're losing to Ohio State 1 million to nothing, if it's even 1 million. Utah, at the very least, can say, we have one of the... Oh, your phone is very loud.
What the hell was that?
You got probably an ESPN alert telling you what the rankings are, okay. So I'll let you know about the rankings. But if you're Utah, you're saying, we have one of the best defenses in the country. We lost one game to, I think, USC, who is not ranked anymore. I don't remember. But, you know, we lost to USC without one of our key offensive players. Our defense is da-da-da. We just did this to Oregon, who's done da-da-da, and they've played blah-blah-blah. And, you know, you work all of that out to where it comes to put the Pac-12 in over this team from the Big Ten, assuming Georgia doesn't lose to or doesn't beat LSU, because then people would be like,
Everything is predicated on the three unbeatens winning, and then it comes down to a one-loss team, not two one-loss teams. Would I be accurate in saying that?
Yes.
All right. I feel much better about this. All right. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. So they are – yeah, I guess I was kind of remiss in not throwing an eyeball, because why would USC drop when teams around them lost and they didn't play? Remember, because they ended their season early by bouncing UCLA in the crosstown rivalry. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. By the way, if anybody is out there, we blew it. I didn't catch it. Where did USC end up in the final poll? Because they started at 22. You know what? There's no way they could end it out, because remember, Virginia Tech was 24 and they lost behind them. So it's not like somebody was going to leapfrog them and they were going to get penalized. By the way, how cool is it that App State with the win is up to 21? Memphis is 17. Oh. So right now, Memphis, Cincinnati, and App State are the group of five programs that are in the running for the major bowl, which goes to the highest ranking out of those teams. Simple as that. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's bring in Dylan. Dylan, good afternoon. How's it going?
It's going good, Steve. So, what were the Ducks ranked?
13.
13. And a question for you. So, if Utah does go win and go to the playoff, does that give us an automatic nod to the Rose Bowl, or is it going to matter what our ranking is?
It's not automatic, but the Rose Bowl is contractually obligated, if they lose a team to the playoff, to take a team from the Pac-12, which would only be USC or Oregon, and Oregon would have to drop 9 places, because USC is number 22. So the only way I would see that happening is if, like, Oregon got beat 52-7 or something horrifying like that and left a bad taste in the mouth of the powers that be in Pasadena.
Okay. So they can't take, like, a Boise State over us or somebody like that?
No, once upon a time they could have. But since the implementation of the playoff, the rules changed. It would be like if Ohio State goes, they have to take it. So it's going to be Pac-12, Big Ten in the Rose Bowl.
Okay. So kind of same kind of goes for the Big Ten with, like, Wisconsin or something.
Absolutely.
Okay. Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it.
All right. Take it easy. Yeah, once upon a time, first of all, obviously, if the Rose Bowl is in the playoff rotation that year, all bets are off. It's totally different. But in the years that it's not, it's Pac-12 champ versus Big Ten champ, unless one of them goes to the playoff, and then the selection committee. I keep defaulting because the selection committee, so I guess it's the Rose Bowl selection committee or whatever gets to pick a team. Whew. All right, so here's my favorite game, if you had a bet. So Is Oregon going to the Rose Bowl? How weird is that? In essence, it means, because of how things turned, it didn't matter what they did. Well, I guess it might have mattered what happened. If they lost the Civil War and then lost this game, it would have come down to them or USC. They beat them head-to-head. They might have been going anyway. These next two games, if they wind up losing and go to the Rose Bowl, it'd be like, did it matter what they did the last 2 weeks? It just has kind of an odd feel to it to get down to the final two games of the regular season with, well, what on the line? They ended up in Pasadena? Anyway, I guess. That's might be a tad presumptuous. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's take a phone call, bring in Tom. Tom, good afternoon. How's it going?
Good, Steve. How are you, man?
All right, what's up?
Hey, first of all, I think last week you mentioned Jose Cardinal.
Yeah.
So I don't know, and thanks for the shout-out. Anyway, that brought back a lot of memories.
For some reason, whether it's Louisville or the baseball team from St. Louis, whenever the Cardinals, I have a tendency to do a Cardinal there, kind of, as you could attest to, you hearken back to the late 70s and 80s when Jose Cardinal was a baseball player.
Yeah, and my uncle used to take us to Anaheim Stadium when they had the Big A out in center field before they enclosed it, and we'd go and watch BP and try to shag his fly balls. So anyway.
All right.
This is my thought on the situation the Ducks are in. I'm thankful that the Ducks don't have a chance to get in the playoffs, because I think it was Joey's Fiesta Bowl year. They ended up being finishing ranked second, and everyone wanted them to be in the championship game, if I'm correct. I don't remember who that team was, but I thought they were going to get trucked if they. It was either Miami or. Anyway, my thought on this one is they would probably have to play Ohio State in the playoff, and they would probably get rolled because Ohio State is that good. So why not enjoy the fact that they could ruin Utah's season and get into the Rose Bowl and have a much better chance of winning?
All right, Tom, appreciate the call. That's been a pretty common theme. Those who think Oregon is a second-tier team this year, maybe not on a level with LSU or Ohio State or Clemson, but for the most part, a majority of those of you who've touched base were prior to Arizona State thinking, no, you got to take your shot. And the only way to win a national title is be in the playoff, not play to win a Rose Bowl. And I'm not saying that isn't a fantastic season, but going back a couple weeks, it was not the aspiration of the coaches and the players. And I'm going to say, I don't have the specifics, I'm comfortable saying a majority of the fans, but I can't tell you if it was 7 out of 10, 3 out of 5, or anything like that. But Tom's philosophy and cheering theme was not alone. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline, if you care to jump on in. Another theme being kicked around was who's going to replace Chris Peterson. Somebody actually just texted and said, who's going to replace Chris Peterson at Washington? It's like, that's done already. It's Jimmy Lake, their defensive coordinator. And some people think that they did this because they didn't want to lose Jimmy Lake, who's seen as a really hot coaching commodity, somewhat similar to after the 2008 season with Chip Kelly here at Oregon. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline, if you'd like to climb on board. You know, it went through the first hour, and now here, and we haven't even mentioned the great Monday Night Football game. last night, which you very well may have heard some of or all of right here on 95.3 The Score. I was kind of tracking the Seahawks the last 3 weeks and said, if they get to a point, should they knock off San Francisco first and then get to this point here, they could take over the NFC West lead. They have. Right now, the 49ers have gone from where they were a couple of weeks ago, you know, unbeaten in the driver's seat for the one seed, to not even having a bye and being a four seed right now and hosting a weekend one wild card playoff game. So, yeah, Minnesota last night. Are people making too much of Kirk Cousins being 0-for Monday Night Football during his career? I mean, he didn't play badly last night. They gave up a lot of points. But, man, Seattle doubled them in time of possession. You know, as Oregon fans and those who've been following this program, you know, the Chip Kelly era and even parts of the Helf era up through Marcus in 2014, we were kind of trained to look at, yeah, that really doesn't matter very much, because if you have the ball for a minute and 45 seconds to score a touchdown and they have it for 4 minutes and kick a field goal or punt, yeah, you'd rather have the touchdown. But the rushing yards, I think that was the biggest number put on the Minnesota defense all year. And man, with a healthy Rashad Penny and Chris Carson, that was a really nice 1-2 punch, the way they rotated that in and out. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Before we move it along, I wanted to remind you, our friends at Beer Garden, right up on 6th, West 6th, as you hit the Whitaker neighborhood, now through December 8th, it's their third annual Cider Garden event. 7 days of cider, turf, surf and turf specials from all of their food carts, live reggae music, and whether it's Bounty Meat and Cheese, Lonnie Moku, Moy Pokey, Zingaro, Once Famous, they're going to have some really unique tie into the event specials. And they're also at Beer Garden turning 20 of their beer taps into cider taps. They'll have themed flights every day, featured cider houses on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And you can get the full list on their website, beergardenme.com. And 7 days of entertainment, free to all. All ages are welcome. The lineup for tonight, well, actually tonight is their traditional trivia with Ty Connor at 7 p.m. So again, Beer Garden, the third annual Cider Garden event, now through December 8th. Check it out online again, beergardenme.com. Like them on Facebook, follow on Twitter, and we appreciate their longtime support. All right, let us take a break, people. I implore you. Oh, I did want to remind, coming out of the 5 o'clock hour, we usually do it on Monday, but because we were kicked off early because of the Seahawks, we'll talk Duck Hoops with Kelly Graves. But for now, break time, back with more sports talk, 95.3 The Score.
Today's show is brought to you by the Coors Light Frost Brewed Sports Desk. Coors Light is the official sponsor of your Oregon Ducks and the Coors Light Refreshing Tweet of the Day. Tweet Steve at SportsTalk953 for your chance to get involved. Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer.
Michael Vick being named one of the four Legends captains for the Pro Bowl, who oversaw his Bad News Kennels and the torture of dogs and personally drowned and electrocuted and hanged dogs. Didn't just oversee it, and we always say with these people, they did their time. Don't they get a chance to have a job again? He got a job again. He got all the things that all of you who are rushing to forgive argued that he should have. He does not also get to be celebrated.
You tell 'em, Sarah Spain. Very well put for those who missed out on it. He is one of four being honored as an honorary Pro Bowl captain. And we've had this discussion before, and I don't know if I'm in the mood to have it again. Just the people who still stand with this guy, who obviously have not read the transcripts from the trial, who play the doesn't he deserve a second chance or he's done his time. Yeah, we get it. We know. It's not a delete button. And like I've said a few times, how about we settle it like this? Let's get all the criminals from Bad News Kennels together, and let's have them retrace their steps. And by that I mean, let's find out all the homes that they went to and backyards and stole family pets to use as bait for their killer dogs. And then for those of you who think Michael Vick is being wrong because some of us aren't buying it and still think he's the scum of the earth and should still be rotting in a prison cell, and let's have you go view the rape machines and the pools where they drown the dogs and kind of go through again the testimony about electrocution and hanging and smashing and executing and shooting. And let's go to the families, maybe the kids who are now grown-ups, and talk about when they found out that, you know, maybe their dog was kidnapped and stolen so it could be used for bait for killer pit bulls or whatever kind of dogs they were. And if they're okay with him being honored at the Pro Bowl, you know what? So am I. Until then, they should all pretty much drop dead. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's bring in Jersey Jack. Jack, good afternoon. How's it going?
Amen, brother.
How's it going?
Okay, bud. So I was thinking, I don't know if you discussed this yet, if the Ducks were to lose to Utah on Friday, they probably still go to the Rose Bowl.
Yeah.
Utah would probably be the number four seed.
If Utah gets in the playoff, and it's a tight game especially, there's a really, really good chance that Oregon does end up in the Rose Bowl because it's going to be another Pac-12 team, and the only other one worthy would be USC, and Oregon kicked their ass sideways.
Right. So win or lose, there's a good chance they're going to the Rose Bowl.
Yeah, I don't know. Good, I would say there's a legit chance. So
yeah. Well, why would they take USC over Oregon?
They wouldn't. You know, the only reason would be is if Oregon gotten beat so badly that they dropped them out of the top 25, then USC would be the next highest ranked Pac-12 team. Like I said, right. I don't think it's going to happen, but that looks like the only circumstances under which that might happen.
Yeah, I agree. All right. Right. Hey, how about them Knicks, buddy?
Thanks for bringing that up. The funny, Frank Isola, who covers the Knicks and the NBA for the New York Daily News. So what is Milwaukee's winning streak now? Is 12 in a row? And he says, yeah, but what nobody is taking into account is that the Knicks have won 23, and then he did kind of a dot, 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 of their last 101 games. And it's like they've won more than half of that in 3 weeks. So, yeah, how's that going for you guys at the Big Apple? All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's bring in James. James, good afternoon. How's it going?
It's going good, Steve. Hey, man, just so you know, I've adopted two dogs.
Nice.
Yes, if you know of Lovable Pet Rescue, I've adopted dogs from there. I got a Chihuahua mix and a pit mix that I've adopted. So I am all on board with you on everything that you have to say. But I do have a question.
All right. First of all, I just wanted to let you know, my wife is a dog walker, and we have a dog boarding business as well. And we work pretty closely with Lovables. They are awesome. So well done.
They're amazing. And my pit is one of the kind of smaller, more passive type pit mixes that probably would have been a victim to Michael Vick's big, bad, you know, fighting, you know, pit bulls. So, yeah, it hits me in a certain spot. And my question is, I've heard Vick a couple times on Dan Patrick, and he's kind of trying to make like a resurgence for himself. Do you not believe there's any, not that I'm not a mistake, he didn't make a mistake. It was a lifestyle he was living, and it's disgusting. And I've researched it. I know the things that he's done. But is there no coming back for you from something like that?
He's already come back. He's free.
No, I know.
He's got a job. He's got money. He doesn't have to be celebrated.
No. I hear you. I'm just saying, I'm not talking about on the media or coming from me or anywhere, but for you, is there never, I'm not judging, I'm not asking, or I'm not saying where I am. Is there never a place that you can come back from something like that?
Come back as far as, like,
just as far as
it's like I'm like,
from
I forg-
like,
you should like be forgiven?
You don't even have to forgive him. Maybe just like, and I'm not saying that I have forgiven or forgotten, but maybe a point to where, you know, he does enough advocacy for, you know, dogs and people who were ignorant for what they were doing like he was and did wrong, brutal things. Is there any, like, okay, this guy, I can kind of give him some, and I'm not saying one way or another. I'm just asking.
No, I see what you mean. The best he could do with me is get back to even, to where he's, like, viewed as sort of a human again, if he spends the next 40 years. Spend the next 40 years advocating, and actually some good comes of it. I'll be like, all right, once it happened, at least you did this.
For sure. All right. Thanks, Steve.
Have a good one, James. Still like to push him into a wood chipper. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Oh, by the way, somebody asked about the Blazers because they're kind of on people's minds because of the single greatest comeback in the history of North American sports. One Carmelo. They call me Carmelo Mello. Quite right. Make a note. They beat OKC. Not a very good team. They beat the Bulls. A bad team. Tonight and this week, the Portland Trail Blazers play both LA teams. So make a note of that, to see how fast or how far or if they've truly made the type of strides that, you know, those of you who fancy yourselves big Trailblazer fans have made. I'm thinking to yourself, is he going to go? What the hell does this have to do with the SEC? That's now, whenever Nick
they
wants...
They play no one, Paul!
Nick's new go-to thing, just to aggravate me. We could be talking about Premier League soccer. SEC! SEC! You know, the what are you doing I didn't get to, you could appreciate, but we're out of time. Did you see that, what is their name, Atletico Madrid?
Yes.
All right, so they're in La Liga?
Yes.
So we all know that, well, football fans, European soccer, South African, South American in particular, could be a little loony. And we know that hate is on the rise, you know, whether it's nationality, skin color. You've seen some really disturbing things. So the Royal Spanish Football Foundation had to notify the government. They had to file a complaint with the Anti-Violence Commission. So they're playing Barcelona at Metropolitano Stadium, and there's a forward, Antoine Griezmann?
Antoine Griezmann, yes.
Okay.
French.
So the trouble that they threw objects on the pitch at him? No, that wasn't the problem. Mm. Was it mean-spirited chants? Nope.
Those are all just gigantic step forwards in what could possibly be going wrong in European football today.
Right.
People weren't throwing, you know, bananas onto the field.
Right,
black
right.
Players,
but they
were
throwing objects. And bad chance.
Okay, yeah. Oh, okay.
So,
slight progress.
Messi scored a goal. Somebody threw an umbrella out there, and there was then, I don't know why the umbrella triggered it, followed by a chorus of Griezmann die, wishing him death. And, you know, I pay attention, but I don't follow it as closely as you and some of the other loons do. So Griezmann moved to Barcelona. And apparently there were negotiations going on between the clubs while he was still under contract to Atletico.
Yes.
And the fans decided that warranted he should die.
Yes.
And by the way, Kyrie Irving thought he got treated rudely by Celtics fans.
With some booze, yeah.
With some booze. So I was reading that, I was watching the video, and I was like, okay, that's different.
It's
Griezmann die!
Well, yeah, like it was 2 summers ago, Griezmann posted this big, long, dramatic video about how he was choosing to stay with Atletico and he was going to be there for a long time, committed to a long-term deal. He held away Real Madrid. He held away Barcelona and PSG, said, no, Atletico, you are for me. And he gave him a big hug and he stayed with them for 1 summer and Barcelona came calling again. But they did the tampering thing.
That was it. They got fined.
Yeah, they did. The tampering thing where it's like, okay, so we're all good for July 1st, you're going to sign this contract, and here we are in April ironing out all of the contract details. Okay, we're good to go. Yeah, you know, maybe if you don't want to try your hardest for Atletico before you play for Barca, that would be great for us. You don't hurt yourself between now and July 1st.
Die. That's the chant, die. They had to file a complaint with the government, not just the governing body of football.
What does an umbrella have to do
with it? I don't know.
Is it like sail away to the underworld with this umbrella? Is it here?
Are they Mary Poppins fans?
Yeah, was he like, here, take the umbrella and fly away?
I don't know. It was.
He didn't even score. Like
no,
Messi
it was
1-0.
Messi had the only goal. All right, before we break, your friends here at KUJZ 95.3 The Score. Oh, we've got a big way for you to save big bucks. Don't pay full price, pay half. Go to our website, 95.3thescore.com. Click on the Sweet Deals link and save half price on local area businesses. And once again, it's restaurant week. Today is the Valley River Inn, and you can get details on the Sweet Deal link by visiting our website, 95.3 The Score. Check out Sweet Deals today. All right, that brings us to break time. We'll do just that. We'll come back. We'll wrap up the 4 o'clock hour sports talk next, 95.3 The Score.
Sports Talk, sponsored in part by Guarantee RV Supercenters, the first and only RV dealership to offer service 7 days a week. Big city selection and country savings. Visit them online at Guarantee.com.
Third down and 5. Wilson's going to go deep, wide open, and into the hands of David Moore. Here's the squib kick as it is fielded by the up man, that is Ham. And they're fighting for the ball there, and Seattle believes that they have it, and they do.
And that was that. Man, Joe Tessitore, ESPN, the new NFC West leaders and the current number 2 seed in the National Football Conference, your Seattle Seahawks. All right, welcome back. Sports Talk home stretch, 95.3 The Score. Looking ahead to the rest of the week. Remember, we'll do the show tomorrow and Thursday. No Crunch Time or Sports Talk on Friday, as we'll be doing our pregame show live from Sam's Place on Wilson Street starting at 1 o'clock. Tomorrow, as usual, George Schroeder will join us near the top of the show. We'll have a Crunch Exchange. And the voice of the Ducks, Jerry Allen, will join us at 4:30. Looking at the Thursday, we'll talk some Seahawks football and Ducks with Aaron Fentress of The Athletic. And Mike Yam of the Pac-12 Network will join us. And Mike just sent out a very encouraging tweet for Utah. The team who has sat fifth in the college football playoff rankings before the conference championship games has made the playoffs four of the last 5 years. The only one that didn't was Michigan, who did not play in the Big Ten title game. So history says win and in. Do we trust history? No, because quite often we always say that, those who ignore history are bound to repeat it. And, well, historically it's gone that way, but how the hell did it end up going this way? So there you go. All right, so the laugh of the week had to be today in, it was in New Jersey, so it's just naturally ridiculous. So Greg Schiano, former Rutgers coach, was hired to be the current Rutgers coach. And the commentary from, what the hell is the name of the athletic director there? I have the story here. Here it is. The athletic director, Pat Hobbs. Today we open the next great chapter for Rutgers football. And I'm like, I'm almost 60 years old. I'm from New Jersey.
Damn you old!
And for those of you who may have noticed, I kind of follow sports. In particular, a lot of football, college football, and NFL football.
I don't think anything Rutgers has done ever, other than playing the first college football game, which even still allegedly wasn't college football because it was like a 2-2 tie and there was, you know, 4 1-pointers scored or whatever, something. Outside of that, I don't think anything that they've ever done actually qualifies as sports, thus you wouldn't have been able to pay attention to it.
Nope, they've never finished in the top 10. And like I said, they've been playing since 1869. Their first bowl game was the Garden State Bowl, now defunct, in 1978, my freshman year in college. And then they started making bowls again in 2005, but of course everybody made a bowl in 2005. Just trying to think if you would have ever known a guy from back then who made the NFL, or I doubt it. I mean, Ray Rice, who, by the way, that's the Rutgers football player that pops to mind. A guy who punched out his fiance on tape in an Atlantic City elevator and is just dirt. So my question was, the next great chapter in Rutgers football, well, would you have to have a first great chapter of Rutgers football? Seems like next would indicate there had been a former and then a latter, just, you know. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon fuel injection hotline. Let's bring in Andy. Andy, good afternoon. Thanks for calling. How's it going?
Good, Steve. Hey, love the show.
Thank you. What's up?
Two things for you. One, my friend, a good friend of mine, offered me a steak dinner bet that the Blazers would not make the playoffs this year. So I wanted I'll take your answers off the radio, off the phone.
Okay.
I wanted your answer on what my percentage is on that, winning that bet. Wow. And then also, is there any bowl scenario where the Ducks could end up with a rematch with Auburn? Because I think that would be a big ratings grab and also a matchup I'd love to see.
Interesting. All right. I appreciate the call, Andy. Technically, there is no matchup with the SEC. I think that's set. I think there's been some alterations in the future. But, you know, right now it's Big Ten in the Rose Bowl, Big 12 in the Alamo Bowl, Big Ten in the San Diego County Credit Union poinsettia holiday bowl.
Poinsettia.
Oh, I'm sorry. The Red Box Bowl is Big Ten, Sun Bowl, ACC, Mountain West, and the Vegas Bowl, Big 12. So that doesn't exist. Playoffs-wise, so right now the number 8 team in the playoffs in the West is Phoenix, sub 500, and Portland's just a game and a half behind them. And, you know, the logic is they're going to get Collins back. Around the All-Star break, maybe with luck, hopefully get Nurk back, that Melo is actually kind of in for the long haul to bring a front court scoring force. I'll tell you what, right now, because of the way the West is, what's happened to OKC, the Kings, the Spurs, and back are shells of their former self. My thing always is that, what would I bet on? I'd bet Portland would make the playoffs. I wouldn't press it, and I wouldn't bet a substantial amount, but if somebody says, here's X amount of dollars, which way would you go? I probably would. I'll tell you what, though, Andy. Tell your buddy to wait until breakfast Saturday. You'll get back to him. Because I would really want to see them play two very good teams these next, tonight and Friday when they play the Clippers and then the Lakers. The way they compete against those two teams who are viewed as the top guns in the West and perhaps a legit contender to win all the marbles, even though it's still early, the more data, the more information you can gather, you could make a more informed decision. But good questions both. All right, break time. We'll be back 5 o'clock hour. Talk with Kelly Graves next, 95.3 The Score.
But, man, y'all got a coconut up.